Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
There's a great judgment day that is coming, we know it's coming to one and all. For the judge shall descend in his power divine and judge both the great and small. When Jesus shall be brought, and the judge shall proclaim to the righteous, well done, the wicked I know ye not. There will be great rejoicing of happy ones there who follow the Savior here. When they hear him declare, come ye blessed
closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can hear of incredible destructive earthquakes and tsunamis. Yes, the judgment of God is heading closer to this direction.
I just heard over the news of a very fearful earthquake that happened in Haiti. That is getting very close to the North American continent. God is telling the North American people, judgment is coming your way. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe we are going to see some very interesting things taking place within the next year. Yes, Jesus is tapping his children on the shoulder. I am coming to take you out of there. Lift up your heads. Get ready. We, the children of God, should seek to take this time as an opportunity to reach as many for Christ as we possibly can. Let's put aside our differences. Let's seek the Lord. Let's walk before him in holiness so that God can use us. For the Lord Jesus Christ has a very important work for us to do. He tells us in Mark chapter 16, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us you will step on scorpions, you will step on snakes, you will cast out devils. This is the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ before he went into heaven. We have been left here in his stead to do his work. But alas, far too many of the church are asleep at the wheel, heading for a crash. They don't seem to understand the importance of the situation. And a lot of that has been brought on by the teachers and preachers of our time. Many preachers and teachers don't want to recognize the fact that we're closing in on the end times. They do not want to teach on the subject of the tribulation and the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to rile their people up. But whether we like it or not, we are fast approaching some very interesting situations, and we need to be ready. Today I'll teach on how to get ready. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. Open the hearts of the listeners. Help, let them see the signs of the time so that they'll open their eyes to the truth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability to bring these messages to the populations. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been teaching on the subject who the real enemy of the children of God is. It is demonic oppression, organized and motivated by Satan himself. But far too many of God's people do not seem to recognize that fact. They seem to close their eyes to the truth of the troubles around them. And that goes on until it hits their homes or their businesses or their marriages. And then when it comes to their door, that is when they go to seek help, where they should have sought for the help even before it starts. You seek out who the enemy is before the trouble comes. You seek the peace of God when in the good times. You don't wait till the trouble hits you. That's very, very interesting on how people operate. They wait till the last moment and then they try to figure out where the problem comes from. I want to show you something very interesting on the nature of people found in Luke chapter 24. The disciples had just seen the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. They had seen him being laid in a grave, totally dead. And then we read of two guys, one by the name of Cleopas, who just decide, we are out of here. This is finished. And it goes on to tell us in verse 17 that Jesus walked with them and asked them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, saying unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we trusted," look at this here, "but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since then these things were done." So here they tell Jesus, it has now been 3 days, he's been in the grave, and it is finished, basically. And they go on to relate a very interesting story. It says, "Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." I want to show you something here that never ceases to astonish me. Here are two guys walking away from Jerusalem, and Jesus walks with them. And they tell Jesus of the things that have come to pass. And they say, the women went to the sepulcher and couldn't find him. And also some of the disciples went there and found that it was true. Jesus was missing. Now I have a question. Why did not those two disciples go and see for themselves? If I would be a disciple of Christ, I believe I would be one of the first to be at the tomb, because he would be the utmost on my mind. What happened to him? I believed in him, and I want to know everything. But here those two guys nonchalantly walk away from Jerusalem. It is finished, even though the women told them that the body was missing. The body of Jesus was missing. Somehow I believe there is something wrong in some people's belief system. They do not seem to understand that you have to pursue something before the Lord will open your eyes. Peter and John pursued the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord appeared unto Peter. Mary Magdalene and the women pursued the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to them. Those two guys very clearly admit that the women had seen a vision of some angels. Did that not interest them? How could you be so unbelieving that you're not even moved by somebody proclaiming that they had seen a vision of an angel? This is the problem with some people's belief system. They don't seem to care what happens. If we don't see it with our own eyes, then it's got to be over. And this is the problem with many of the church world today. They don't see the power of the Holy Spirit operating, so they don't pursue it. They don't take the word of God as proof for what happens. It tells us that Jesus told them, once he opened their eyes, O fools and slow of heart to belief, all these that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He tells them, you are fools and slow of heart to believe, because you do not believe what is written. And he really let them have it. And I have a feeling that's what will happen to a lot of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord, instead of telling them, come on, inherit the glory that I have prepared for you because you've been a faithful servant, he will have to tell them, oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe, I would have loved to give you crowns, but you rejected my word, so you cannot receive the crown. How are you when it comes to that situation? Do you believe the word of God when it speaks about the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe the word of God when it teaches us that we shall cast out devils, that we shall heal the sick, we shall raise the dead, we shall tread on scorpions and snakes? Do you believe it with all your heart and all your soul? Or are you like Kleopas and his buddy, walking away from the proof and just nonchalantly rejecting the whole idea that Jesus rose from the dead? How will God deal with you at the judgment seat of Christ? Your choice, the choice is yours. It tells us very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. He, in verse 21, it tells us, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We know what the Ten Commandments are, but what are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? He tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us, as my Father has sent me, so I have sent you. My Father has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to touch them and heal them that are bruised and wounded, to cast out devils. In verse 12 of John chapter 14, it tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Are you doing the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have a feeling many of us can honestly say we're not doing the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the excuse that those things went out with the apostles. Well, that lie has been told, but it has been exposed by the word of God, so it will not be sufficient. You will have to give an account of what you did, whether you believed it or not. The word of God very plainly teaches us that the Lord God gives us a commission. And that commission is becoming very, very important as we see the day approaching. The enemy has been unleashed on this planet. We are going to see some unbelievable things in the very near future. It's going to come close to every person's doorstep. The question is, will you be ready for the battle when these things will hit your home, your house, your business? We need to seek the advice of God before these problems come. We need to believe his word. Far too many people wait till it's too late. When divorce hits their homes, then they go to seek help. When there's problems with the children, demonic oppression, whatever it is, then they start seeking help. And most of the time, they go to the wrong source. You need to seek the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to seek Him out in Scripture. He will open your heart to the truth of the problem, and you will be able to handle it if you seek Him with all your heart. The disciples, the women, went to the grave. There they saw a vision of angels. It wasn't a vision. They saw real angels. There Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. And there Jesus appeared unto Peter. What is happening to you? Are you having experiences with God? Or are you nonchalant about the whole deal? Yes, time is running out. We need to open our hearts and our ears to the truth of God. God will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
When the harvest has been gathered and all my work is done, when the last mite is trampled and I've sung my final song, if I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin.
Such an awesome time, but there's a voice that calls for mercy, ringing through eternity. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment.
While I was in the progress of putting this program together, there was an announcement of an incredible earthquake in Haiti. And we have to understand that the Dominican Republic and Haiti are on one island. But for some reason, the country of Haiti has experienced incredible floods. This devastating earthquake, a poverty that is beyond imagination. It is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and the politics of that country is the most corrupt there is on the planet. One news anchorman said that as far as natural disasters and political corruption, Haiti is the most God-forsaken country in the world. And we have to remember the Dominican Republic is situated right on the same island. There is not much difference geographically between them, but for some reason, Haiti is being hit again and again by incredible disasters. And I want to tell you a story why I believe this is happening. Haiti used to be dominated by the French, but the people of Haiti got together and they made a pact with Satan that if Satan will help them to get rid of the French, they will designate their country to him. Yes, they got rid of the French, but Haiti has been in a natural disaster area ever since. This is the payback if somebody makes a pact with the devil. We will see some interesting reports coming out of that country. Maybe God will be able to get the attention of those people. The dominating religion over the centuries has been voodoo, which is witchcraft. Yes, Satan has been very active in that country, whereas the Dominican Republic is a tourist attraction where people go to have vacations and enjoy the scenery. Haiti is nothing but a destructive cesspool of poverty. The rats and the mice in Dominican Republic have better lives than the people of Haiti. So we know for a fact that the judgment of God has been on that country. Yes, we need to understand the people of that country need our prayers. We need to pray for them that God will open their hearts and eyes to the truth of the Lord God. Yes, we know that Jesus is about to come back. He is opening the eyes of the blind so that they can see. God is coming back to judge this planet very shortly. So open your eyes to the truth of what you're seeing. The judgment of God is edging closer and closer, and we will soon see with clarity that God means business. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.